Well, I see we're all here, at last,
Jaspar Clinton said waspishly as Ducairne walked into the conference chamber. Warm air flowed easily, effortlessly throughout the chamber, maintaining the temperature at its customary level of perfect comfort. The imperishable conference table, the work, like the entire temple, of the Archangel's own hands, was as perfect and unmarred by use as it had been on the very day of creation, and the illumination radiating from the ceiling itself flowed down with a shadowless brightness no candle or lamp flame could ever hope to challenge. As always, that irrefutable evidence that he was, indeed, in the presence of the divine, reassured Ducairne that whatever errors mere humans might make, God was capable of setting them all right in the end, as long as his servants were only true to their faith. "I'm sorry I'm late," he said now, crossing to his place at that mystic table. "I had several pastoral matters to deal with, and I'm afraid the time got away from me." "Pastoral matters, was it?" Clinton snorted. "I'd think preserving Mother Church would take precedence over almost any other pastoral matter I could think of."
Samson Trenaire stirred slightly in his chair at the head of the table. Clinton had become even more caustic and abrasive since Dennis's execution. It was as if the ex-archbishop's final defiance had goaded the Grand Inquisitor into even greater belligerence and vengefulness. And in some peculiar fashion, Ducairne's obviously resurgent faith actually made Clinton even more impatient with the Treasurer General. It was almost as if he feared Ducairne's faith would further soften the resolution of the vicar he'd always regarded as the least resolute of the group of four to begin with. Or perhaps it was simpler than that. Perhaps what had happened with Dennis had made him wary of what Ducairne might yet do in the name of his refound faith.
"Whatever you need to talk about, Jaspar," Ducairne said serenely, "my arriving here 5 minutes early or 5 minutes late isn't going to have any world-shattering consequences. And since that's the case, I saw no need to cut short the counsel and advice one of my bishops required." "And how do you—"
Clinton began irately, but Trenaire raised his hand.
"He's right, Jaspar," the Chancellor said. The Grand Inquisitor turned his glare upon him in turn, but Trenaire only looked back at him calmly.
"I agree that a certain degree of urgency in responding to this sort of thing is undoubtedly in order, but we can't afford to simply drop everything and come running whenever some unfortunate bit of news arrives. First, because even with the semaphore, whatever it is that brings us together must already have happened quite some time ago, and our response to it is going to take just as long to reach out from Zion. So frantic haste on our part isn't going to affect things very much one way or the other. Second, however, is the fact that, as vicars of Mother Church, we have many responsibilities, like the ones Robert was dealing with this afternoon. We can't allow the schism Caris has created to distract us from all those other responsibilities. And third, because it's essential we not allow anyone to believe we've been distracted from those responsibilities by it. Never forget that there are those who are merely waiting for the best opportunity to assail us. If we allow them to believe we've been so badly panicked that the schism crisis is the only thing we can think about, those weaker brethren among the vicarate may be tempted to openly defy our guidance."
Clinton's jowls had darkened, and he'd opened his mouth to retort angrily, but Trenaire's slow, calm, reasonable tone had stopped him. Now he glowered at the Chancellor for another few heartbeats, then shrugged.
"Oh, very well," he growled.